You ever had that moment in session where you know you've been here over an issue, where your client knows what they're doing is a problem, y'all have talked about it, but yet and still it keeps happening over and over again, and you've tried to be validating and affirming, but then it's like, what else do I do? Well, let's talk about it today, showing the impact in session.
Welcome to the Leading Edge in Emotionally Focused Therapy with your hosts, Dr. James Hawkins and Dr. Ryan Reyna. EFT is a dynamic model that humbles even the most seasoned therapists. Together, we want to come alongside you as you continually push the leading edge of your understanding and application of this wonderful model developed by Dr. Sue Johnson.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Showing the impact. James, this is the topic you wanted to talk about. I like it as well. Tell us what you mean by showing the impact.
So it comes up in a couple of different ways. One for me is when you just feel a client kind of like, this is what I'm going to do no matter what. And they don't see particularly the actions that they're choosing to do, whether it's in the timing or a stance. What it's doing to them. I believe I'm doing the right thing. And I'm not, my job isn't to talk them out of that or tell them they're doing something bad. My job is just to show them the reality in the moment, though. You can make that choice. But as you make that choice, I need to show you what this means for you, your partner, and your relationship. Also, another example that pops up is one I've said on here before, where Sue was working with one client, and the client said something mean about his partner, referred to her as fat. And that hit Sue's body. And Sue was like, I want to understand what's going on for him, why that came up. I also don't like what he just did. And I don't like how that affected the partner. So then it forces Sue to have to do something. And Sue did a very brilliant intervention. Of course, she's Sue. She did a reflection. Uh-oh. Right now, as we touch this place and this gets hit inside of you, you choose some words and you say something. And they kind of, it looks like it hurts your partner as you say those words. But also, I know something's coming up for you. And so she shows him the impact. She made him look at it. It hurt your partner. Ouch. I want to go explore with you, but I do got to acknowledge that something just happened here. So that's what I mean about showing impact. And it came out of a story where I did this with a client, and I thought the therapy was going to be over, the relationship was going to end. And the person came in with a renewed commitment to therapy. And I'm like, hey, help me understand this new motivation for you. He said, Doc, I couldn't quite see what I was doing until you got very serious and you showed me the impact. Or what he said was, you showed me the consequences of my choice. If I continued to do this, you made it really clear. Not only was what I thought I was doing was standing up for me, but I was also really inviting my partner to fight against me more. You also made me look across the way and look at how my partner felt as my words came out of my mouth. And you showed me the ultimate end. This was going to kill our marriage. I needed that reality.
It's good because people that are stuck in a cycle, the longer you're in those cycles, the more desensitized you are, especially to your impact. But if I'm drowning, I'm having a hard time paying attention to anyone else's experience in the pool, right? And so it makes sense that you've got to, you know, it's confrontation by dot connecting.
That's right.
You know?
That's like good.
You're connecting dots.
That's right.
You're saying, hey, I hear you. I see you. Yeah. I also need you to see how this connects around the loop there. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. And we're not trying to, one, like, no harm, no foul. We've talked about here. Other models might add a label to that. You're a narcissist. Right. You're this. I'm not even adding a label. Actually, here's the stance I'm taking. I get it in the context of the negative cycle, what you're trying to do. And for many of my clients, let me be careful with how I say this. They're not doing it intentionally to harm. But even though this is a George quote that he says, and I think we've gotten it somewhere else, your good intent does not convey in the negative cycle. And so many times they are. And they're doing it for an intent for like kind of stand up for themselves. That's great. But I also need you to see how this is landing and what it does to the process between the two of you. So it is a kind, I would say, a reflective challenge for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think through I've done many, many intensives in my life. And I left, and I've not had one go bad, but I did have one. They were really saying nice things at the end, but I left feeling funny because the male in this couple, man, this person's picture was next to the word narcissist in the dictionary. It's like every single symptom. I don't even think that way, but it was so glaringly obvious. And I played this out in over 16 hours, and they got better, and he did some good things. The partner did some good things. And what I realized, though, and she just became more overt, she's like, I like this role. I find meaning in sort of being my partner's caretaker, you know? And so the kind of halfway feminist inside of me and justice, like, end of the day, though, it is their life, right? And so I think what matters is what's the impact, right? If it works for you and you two want to be that way and it's not really oppression, then who am I to say? It's not my job to enforce my whatever values I may have or what have you. But the opposite's also true, right? I can want to stand up for my truth and this is the way I am, which is to me the most dangerous statement in the English language. This is just how I am, because it implies the world has to accept me and everyone else should just change around me. Instead of me, you know, spending a little time to reflect and so forth. But the confrontation isn't that. It's like, well, Ryan, does it work for you or does it not? You know, how does this connect? Is that kind of what you're saying?
100%. Yeah. So can I just take that? This is the way I am. This is what I do. But then right here in this relationship, and maybe at work, that's great because you're the supervisor or whatever. Maybe on your rec league volleyball team or whatever, that's great. But right here, though. And particularly not even just right here in your day-to-day life, because y'all do a million things great. But however, in these moments, when you just kind of stand up for yourself, and then you're standing up for you, but you can't see your partner, and you put your foot down, what happens right there? Do you feel like that you get hurt? Or does it make the more you stand up for you, does it feel like your partner goes further and further away? And then it's not even just you stand up for you. How do you stand up? Show me what that looks like. Well, I criticize them. I tell them what they're doing wrong, and I point out all the obvious things that anyone should see. Ooh, even right here. Wow, look at that. Even as you say that, when that part of you comes out, what usually happens? Well, people move further away from me. Ugh. So now the opposite, the very thing you are wanting, to stand up for yourself, to be heard, to be seen, and to be valued, they're going away from you. Is anyone hearing you there? No. Oh, gosh. Well, but I appreciate, you know, this is probably makes you feel safe, but I just look at the impact of this on you. And then what happens to the relationship? Well, we get further apart. Ugh. And what do you see happen to your partner? Oh, their shoulders just drop. They just look so defeated. Ugh. And that's not what you want to see on the other end of you. Am I getting that right? No. Well, I get it. I'm seeing what's happening here. And this is hard. This is difficult. So I got to help you there. I got to help you there because this is not fair to you. It's not fair to your relationship. And I want to be careful. I'm not trying to, and it's probably not even so fair for your partner. You want different for them too.
I love the as is typical, the rhythmic way you're using your voice, your use of self, which is, I think, one of your greatest, style aspects of you as a therapist. But I love the phrase, I got to help you out. I got to help you out. You said it like three times.
Oh, yeah.
What a great entry frame. To actually show me that what I'm doing is hurting multiple people, which is kind of what I want to talk about next, because I like your frame on that, James. It's better than me. I tend to emphasize partner impact, but you've done a nice job of expanding that some. So after the break, let's check in on the three or four kind of impacts that we can show.
Do you believe in the mission of this podcast for you, for your colleagues, and for your clients? If you do, we'd like to invite you to invest with us.
Yeah, nothing happens without investment. I believe in the things that we're talking about make a difference in people's lives, like real lives that affect generations. So we'd love it if you'd invest with us. For sure, if you're having difficulties financially, please do not give. If you serve a very underserved population, do not give. But If the ideas from this podcast you use professionally, we'd love to invite you to invest with us to keep this thing going. Hey, before we jump back into the topic, I just want to say thank you for your work. How about this one? I want to say thank you for the days you wake up and you don't feel like coming to work. I'm sure I'm the only one that feels that way. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I'm sick. Sometimes I just don't feel like I have enough capacity to go hear two people fight for 3 or 4 or 6 or 7 hours. And I'm sure that you do as well. And so like me, sometimes you push yourself through it and you get yourself in there. And I want to say thank you for those days. Those are sometimes the days we learn the most. So thank you for your hard work in your community.
I want to say thank you particular for the moments when even your life feels like it's falling apart, whether you're having a struggle with your partner, child, car, whatever your work environment, but you still got to go in that room and you still got to help meet people in their pain.
Yep.
Thank you for that ability. I know the way I say it is, I know that comes at a cost to your nervous system too. So I thank you for that.
I gotta expand on that 1 minute, James, because I started saying this about a year ago at trainings, and the impact, speaking of impact, on people is huge. So I was trained early on, and there's a certain amount of wisdom in this, I think, but I've refined this as applied to EFT. I was trained in the old school, which said you can't take people further than you've gone, and it was this challenge. To say, you know, as a self, the therapist challenge. And I think there's some wisdom to it, but that's not true.
Mm-mm.
There's a lot of EFT clinicians around the world, a lot. I might even say the majority who are passionate about love and passionate about relationships and want to try to live out of their heart to go home to partners who don't care about that, who don't want to talk about all that stuff. And it's pain. It's a pain point in their life, and they feel like frauds when they come into session, or maybe they're single, and maybe nothing wrong with that in the world, but they may experience that as painful, being a little bit alone in the world in some ways. And so, I just want to say you're not a fraud if that's you. It's fine. You know, the example I use is the best swimmer in world history is Michael Phelps. He's like the best swimmer in history, and he has a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
There you go.
He's being coached by someone who's not near as good as he is.
Man.
And that coach can still help him be a good swimmer. You can take people further than you've gone. Caveat being, we have a hard time taking people further than we're willing to go.
There we go.
Right. So I've got to be willing to open my heart, maybe in areas of my personal life, to not have it block me in session. But that doesn't mean, you know, I'm with a partner who's necessarily on the same page just for significant seasons of life, if ever. There's a lot of great EFT clinicians who live in insecure relationships. And not only is that okay, I want to say I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
You bet. All right, jumping back into the topic here, showing impact. Something I like you do, I like what you do, James, better than me. Maybe several things. This is one of them. I really core skills too is when I spend time teaching this. I demonstrate it up front. I set up a short role play exercise where people validate protective strategies, but then blame and attribute behavior to the cycle, showing impact on other. I still like it, but I like that you're taking it in a more broad way. Mm-hmm. Read me into how you speak about that.
Yeah, so there's a couple reasons why. I want them to see, I'm not just trying to, because sometimes what can happen is, are we just trying to protect the other partner from something that's difficult? Specifically, when I think about pursuers, I don't want them to feel like a monster again. And then also when withdrawers do kind of lose it and say nasty things, they feel bad about it. So I'm not just trying to shield your partner from you. One. So I also want to bring in, but I want you to see the impact it has to you, because they are trying to, in their mind, they are trying to do something that's necessary for their survival. This is the primal survival strategy. And wouldn't you want someone to tell you if you're doing something that you're trying to do that's good for you, but is hurting you? I mean, we had that podcast episode where Ryan was talking about, you know, he was talking to a nutritionist or something like that, and the nutritionist asked Ryan about, well, what are you intaking? And Ryan showed him his protein drink. And he says, oh, I know you're taking that for a good reason, but there's a particular chemical compound in that that's actually detrimental to your muscular growth. What a great nutritionist to say that. I need you to see the impact this is going to have on your goal here, Ryan. So there's that. And so that's a way of expanding it. And I also wanted to break their heart because to me, I love working in attachment dilemmas. I get the good reasons why you're doing this and what you're trying to do and when it shows up. But can we also look at this other side that when you do this, what happens to you? And what is it like in that place when you're trying to do something for you to protect you, but you still get hurt? This goes back to a little bit of our fray. All of your attachment strategies keep failing over and over yet again. And for me, it's also a form of, Ryan, of deepening. Every time I show you those three layers, there is a rhythmic kind of hypnotic effect to it, but it's all based on the reality of your story that I'm making super explicit. I'm making it very explicit so we can sit with the pain of it. And then what happens is now they're willing to give up some of that defense because I've shown it to them that I understand it, I see it, and now I earn the permission to think about to take the risk of modifying it.
I like it. I'm taking notes over here, and I don't want therapists to say this to clients. This is for therapist talk here. But there's really seven areas here that I can think of that are impacted by someone's rigid pattern of protection, which could be anything, you know, on the pursuer train, anything on the withdrawer train. So I'll pick one off the withdrawer train. If I'm someone who really am just never going to open up, you know, I'll negotiate with you, I'll perform, but I'm never really going to let you see my heart. Okay. So that makes sense in my story. Could make sense in my cultural marginalization story, could make sense in my trauma story, could make sense in attachment injuries. There could be all kinds of good reasons why someone goes through life and is nice and friendly, but really not going to put their heart in the game. That's a weird phenomenon. But let's look at least seven areas I can think of. And again, this is just therapist talk, not something I'm going to go through with a client most likely. But for one thing, it affects the partner. It impacts the partner. Here's the good reasons to not put your heart forward, but here's the impact on the partner, right? But then it also impacts the relationship. So every time I take my heart out, the relationship gets a little more sick, a little more weak. There's two. Number three, it impacts our sexual connection, right? Which a lot of withdrawers, they care a lot about that one because that's the only place they can feel loved, right? And so, and again, that's obvious in a way, but the person who is stuck for a long time, obviously they don't even make that connection. So four is in the impact of self because it swings back around in the circle and hurts me, both from a standpoint of loneliness and the future, right? Because we're going to grow old like this. Is this the end of the story? Right, and then how about my potentially children?
Ooh.
The impact on them. Now we're affecting generations.
That would pull on some sensitivities.
Yeah. And that's five. And then six, how about the community I live in?
Yeah.
Maybe it's there could be so many different kinds of communities, everything from a neighborhood to a religious group to a corporate, you know.
A large friendship group.
Friendship groups.
Because when one relationship struggles, it ripples through the other relationships.
Absolutely. And then the seventh one I just wrote down, maybe this is being redundant, but just compounding cycles, right? It's kind of like not paying your credit card 9 months in a row. If I get ready to pay it the 10th month, now I'm paying the bills for all these other months. And so it starts to overwhelm all of us, this compounding cycles. So I like what you're teaching me something there by looking at these multi-level impacts. You know, you might pick out one of those or two of those, but I think a lot of them are there.
Hey, thank you for being a good systemic thinker there, Ryan. Ryan just took it fully systemic. I want to go back and double click on one to the partner. You just made me think about, because this is attachment in adult romantic relationships again. Because also part of what I'm showing them the impact of is when they can't put out a clear signal to their partner that reaches for comfort. So what I show them, the impact to their partner is, hey, can I just stay here? And I get that you do this and you kind of say this part, or maybe if it's a stand up for yourself, or you put these parts of you away. We can go with both for a moment. You stand up for yourself, but you just kind of stand up. But does your partner get to see what it feels like for you here? They see you take a stand and saying no. But do you think they get to see what's happening to your heart inside? Well, maybe not so clearly. I try, though. Yeah, you do try. But do you think they understand it? Well, no, of course they don't. Okay. And here's the part that's hard. Because while they see you taking the stand, what's happening is, what I'm trusting is that in adult romantic relationships, they want to succeed as a caregiver for you. So when you kind of take that stand and you don't show this other part of you, then they don't get to succeed with that very vulnerable part of your heart. So I want to give them that chance to be able to do that, to succeed with you. Because when we don't get to succeed as caregivers, it feels so defeating and so hopeless. Or we'll go with the other one. When you put your heart away, then your partner never gets to really know what's going on with you. And then that's probably the thing that kind of kicks them up into some anxiety, because they can see something's going on, but they can't figure out what it is. So I want to help them here so that way they can succeed as a caregiver. Is that okay? So in other words, I'm telling them, I want to help them give you care. And part of what the distress, what your eyes are seeing is they don't know how to do that. So they don't get a chance to do that. That's just another little nuance I found too.
Yeah. I like it. And, you know, I think having this list of 7 or 8 is not a bad thing to have in a notebook somewhere. Mm-mm. Because every once in a while you have a client who's motivated by different things.
That's right.
You know, and I've had a fair share of clients who, I don't think this is speaks to them universally in the world, but through a season of life and they're in a bad place, all they were motivated by was sex. Mm-hmm. Or all they were motivated by was kids.
Yeah.
And like, well, you can sometimes track around and show. Here's the great reasons you have to do this. Here's the 3 dots we connect of how this hurts this thing that you want, which ends up hurting you.
And I want to keep us on time, but can I also say we've been talking about maybe some of the uncomfortable, painful places of challenge. You know another place you need to show impact? Positive experience. Mm. Success. We were watching a session of mine today on the Success and Vulnerability Live, and the partner did something that shifted their partner. One, they sent a clear signal, but then later on they were able to respond to them. I said, hey, I need you to slow down for a moment. As you did that, could you look at your partner's eyes? As you said, I can do this part, I can relate to you here. Could you look at their eyes? This person was even unwilling to take in that they did something that moved their partner. I need you to look at that. And that came from the place where you finally joined them in that dark pit. Can you look at that? I want you to see the impact, because for me, there's a part where no matter how good James is with words, I can't talk you into this. I need your body to see it so that way they can install for them later. Oh, me going to that vulnerable place really does matter to my sweetheart because I saw it in their eyes for myself. It wasn't what I read in a book. It wasn't what my therapist told me. I got evidence for myself. This part of me matters.
It's good stuff.
All right.
It's good stuff. Got to show the impact.
Got to show the impact.
Because impact shows you motivation, right? Because all those things we listed, even the 8th one you added there with positivity, if you can show me the impact in my world, you've accessed my motivation.
Good stuff. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening. We hope this experience helps you push the leading edge in your work to help people connect with themselves and with each other. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. You can contact us at pushtheleadingedge@gmail.com, and you can follow us on our Facebook page at Push the Leading Edge. You can follow Ryan on Facebook at Ryan Reyna Professional Training and on his website, ryanreynatraining.com. You can follow James on Facebook and Instagram at Doc Hawk LPC. You can also check out his website, DocHawkLPC.com.